You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right. Approaching 7:07 on the Friday before your Memorial Day weekend. A lot of you might have 3 days off coming up, so do it right. Eat local, cook some good food this weekend, and remember, this is not Veterans Day. This is remember those folks who gave their lives, and the men and women who gave their lives in service of this country. Please remember that this weekend while you're having a beer and doing up some carne asada on the barbecue. 790-2040, wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. And remember, if you want to social media nerd it with us, Christopher D. Simone, Wake Up Tucson. Ed controls the Twitter storm for us over there. The guy's amazing.
Yeah, that's it. I do find gems once in a while.
You do. And then before we get on with the rest of the show, remember we have our next two Rocky Point trips coming up, June 3rd through the 6th, July 15th through the 18th. Please join us. It's $380 a person, I think, is where it's at now. Gets you 3 nights on the beach at the Peñasco del Sol Hotel. That's double occupancy. That gets you transportation, bilingual guide, and, of course, a day trip to the seaport to go fishing. Shopping and get your fresh fish that will be dropped off the next day before you leave. Call Grayline 622-8811. And then Brewed Coffee, Phil and Kate, Sabino, and Snyder, thank you for all the amazing Java that we drink here today.
And then Malta Joe's.
Oh, Malta Joe's, that's right. Pastizzi is also being featured, one of our other sponsors. And then, of course, Sausage Shop. This is the time to go stock up for your Memorial Day weekend.
Phil also reminded me yesterday that we were looking for places to watch soccer, and he usually has a couple of soccer games on when all that is going on.
So yeah, so he's in my crew. The El Charro kids reached out to me, so we're working on it. The playground is also another. So we were looking for watch parties for the U of A women's soccer team. Tony was on, and he wants to do at least 3 watch parties of the Women's World Cup. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're talking about. Ed Alexander, yeah. Mark,
I would be up for that next year. It's just going through renovation pains right now. So when I saw that, I said, well, next year I'll get you.
Well, I like having a brick hit me on the head while I'm watching soccer.
There you go.
No, I'm just kidding. So welcome back to Mark Van Buren, Marriott University Park General Manager.
Good morning.
And then we have Rebecca from Dedicated. How are you doing?
I'm doing well this morning. How are you?
Adriana reminded me that we met each other years ago, and I barely remembered it, not because you weren't memorable, it's just maybe I'm just getting senile. You want to check out dedicatedgf.com right now to follow along on the interweb. Ed, are you eating your baked goods?
The GF is for gluten-free, yes.
Thanks for clearing that up,
Ed. For gluten-free.
I couldn't wait. There are 4 wonderful things on my plate, and this looks like... This is like the apple crumb cake, something or other.
It's a coffee cake.
Like it's a coffee cake. I haven't had one of these in so long. Mm. This is so good. Thank you.
It's like your grandma used to make.
Yes, I couldn't wait. Thank you. There you go.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell me about Dedicated. Why did you start? Give me the origin story, like a superhero. What's the origin story of Dedicated?
So my husband was misdiagnosed with lupus for almost 15 years before he found a doctor who figured out that if the blood markers kept coming back just shy of lupus, but he had all the symptoms. So he went to a new doctor who said, okay, so humor me. If the blood work says it's not lupus, then maybe it's not lupus. And we just stop treating the symptoms and masking it and figure out what the heck is actually going on. And
a doctor with common sense. That's
it's
weird.
It's so weird, right? Mm-hmm. So props to him. So what he figured out is that he has a really severe wheat allergy. And so the trifecta of wheat and preservative and MSG equals Gordon gets an EpiPen, which is never something you want to see happening.
Right.
So we both went gluten-free, solidarity, and also so not going to cook 2 meals, right? never going to happen. The doctor said, you know, no big deal, gluten-free. This was years ago. Just no beer and no pasta and no bread. And he said, I think I want to go back to the part where I was dying of lupus because, like, really? Like, no beer? What do you do with your life? So I...
Tequila.
Yeah, so we switched to vodka. So that's good. So it's really early in the morning to be talking about that.
No, it
so
isn't.
Here we are. You know, bakers start at 4 a.m.
So do talk show hosts.
So right, exactly. So you're my people.
Yes.
So I just started experimenting with different flours. What I found was that when I didn't eat gluten, I also didn't hurt. My mom had told me when I started turning 40, everything started hurting my hands and my knees. And it turns out that if I don't eat gluten, I don't hurt. And my knees don't make that clicky noise when I go up the stairs. So so I played around with flours until I came up with something I liked. I tried all the crap in the grocery stores. Can I say crap on the radio?
Yes, you can.
I tried all the crap.
And it definitely is. Yes.
It's so much of it is so bad. And especially years ago, it was way worse than it is now. And so I just started playing around with flour.
But like
blends.
We say in the Seinfeld with the snack wells, they always say it's fat-free. So it's got to be good for you, right?
Yeah,
and they keep eating this junk.
No, well, and the other piece of it is, you know, to mask the part where the texture is wrong and the flavor is really bad, they just put a crap ton of sugar in it. So that's also not something you want in your life. So I just tried to find something to feed my family, because a life without carbs is not a life I wanted to live. So so here we are. People kept saying, you should open a bakery. And I kept saying, I'm an accountant. Never going to happen. But I was really at a point where I was ready to do something different and serve the community and give back. And here we are. So it's been 5 years. We just celebrated our fifth
birthday.
Lisa,
I know you're a business owner that's a baker that knows how to watch the pennies and dimes and which way they're going.
Yeah,
so
I gotta
tell you,
that's a huge thing. If I couldn't make a spreadsheet, I don't know that we would still be here. Really, it's tough. You know, small business is tough, and restaurant for sure. Like that, it takes a while to turn the corner.
So you ignored every accounting instinct you had.
I did, you know, I did the spreadsheet and it said that it wasn't feasible. And I said, okay, but I really want to. So like in what quantities do we need to buy the flour in order to make it feasible? And how long can we lose money before we turn the corner? And here we are.
Well, you know what? You just saved your husband's life, right? Now you don't want him to hate you for having a business that just keeps going.
Also.
Right.
Right. Right. There's that part that, like, I kind of want to keep him around. So.
So as you're doing this for the last 5 years, now where's your location so we can get people to start thinking about
this? We're at 4500 East Speedway between Swan and Columbus, right next to Mama's Pizza.
Okay. And what's your hours of operation?
We open at 6 a.m. every day, and we have great locally roasted coffee from Tucson Coffee Roasters.
Very good.
And then we close at 6:30 on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and 5 o'clock on Sunday and Monday. And then on the weekends, we just extended our hours a couple months ago. We're up until 9:30 at night on Friday and Saturday. So we have a great place in Midtown where you can go and get some amazing treats.
So I feel like what you brought us, this great variety, and I know you're doing cakes, right?
Oh, yeah, cakes, wedding cakes,
What don't you bake there? I guess that's right. I feel like I say what you bake.
Right?
What's the easier question to ask?
Right. We're working on developing a keto menu, and so we get a lot of requests for keto stuff. We have a keto bread, but we have not nailed...
What does keto mean for people who don't know?
Keto is a no-carb, low-carb diet. And it's super trendy and a fad, but it also has really great health benefits for people who have severe inflammation.
What's your most popular item?
Cupcakes and coffee cake.
Okay.
My most favorite item personally would be the eclair, because eclairs filled with pastry cream and topped with ganache. Yeah.
You can freeze them and have them later.
So yes.
This crumb cake thing.
Yeah.
See, that's why he likes it. Because he's a Pennsylvania guy. I'm a New York guy.
It's like having the shoe fly pie.
He's a New York guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So getting the actual coffee cake with the streusel-esque crumb topping.
Yeah. My family's from New York and New Jersey. I know what's up.
You know what it is? It's like, you know, after watching all those bad episodes of Cake Boss, the best episode I ever saw is the one where they're really well known for making this killer coffee crumb cake.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting. So
that's where when you would have company over, that's what you would bring out. You break, you know, put some coffee on the stove.
Right. And you box out, you get the box of Entenmann's.
Sure.
Grocery aisle. Entenmann's.
Entenmann's. Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't used to be able to get that out here. I remember.
We don't need them. We have dedicated.
That's right. Yeah.
Tell me what you learned over the last 5 years as you opened the business, right? And going into gluten-free and making it tasty is what you really started off the adventure, right? What are a couple of things you've learned about the mechanics of baking gluten-free Okay. That was just the hard way of just figuring it out.
Wow, I feel like the creation of the flour blend that we use was really, it took a while, but it wasn't really hard. It was interesting, very based in chemistry, and I played around with it for a long time before I found one that I really liked. And then when I did, I was like, oh, I better write that down. Let me see if I can replicate that. Yeah. There are a few things that I really needed to experiment with. Is it going to work? Can you make a pâté choux, like the crust for the eclairs, with the same flour that we use? And I didn't think it was going to work, but it did. But really, I think bigger than the baking with the flour from the business standpoint, what I learned is bigger than the baking piece. The baking piece, I feel like maybe because we come at it from the right angle and we're doing this to serve the people that, like, the forces of the universe just gave us the blend that works. The business management piece, and I had been doing business management and accounting for a long time, but I feel like the learning curve there was steeper. The hiring the right people.
Well, that's everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was a big piece.
And but so, see, that's the piece that's missing in a lot of restaurants. And Chris and I, we're foodies, and we've known a lot of really good restaurants that serve good food, mm-hmm. but they miss that accounting piece where it's you got to be accountable. You have to make money. And they don't even calculate food cost or any of that stuff. And you're going, like, how do you expect to succeed? And obviously, you've done very well.
Thanks. Yeah, it's, you know, if you don't do that, then you don't get to stick around. And I really feel like we have a responsibility to the community. You know, a lot of times I'll say, well, where else would people go? And you could say that two ways, like, well, where else would they go? But but what I mean is, like, oh my gosh, where else would they go? Like, they need us. Hundreds of people a day are counting on us. And so it's really important.
You just had a great line there. I like there, as you said, if we don't do it right, we don't get to stick around.
Yeah, and it's true, and it's, you know, it's about quality, and it's about service, and it's about giving back to the community, which is huge, really important to us.
What are some things on your menu that we wouldn't? You're doing sandwiches, and
we are doing sandwiches.
Tell me about sandwiches.
Bomb, awesome sandwiches. So the thing is, they taste like sandwiches because our bread tastes like bread, which is so weird. Our In the Club sandwich is super popular. We have a cherrywood smoked bacon that's delicious, and a natural turkey that's raised without hormones or antibiotics. I really like the Jump Through the Ring because anything with green chilies and cheddar cheese and roast beef is, I'm all about that.
Nice. We're there.
Yeah.
What are some of the things you've learned in relation to, what are some of the flours that you're using that, you know, are we allowed to talk about that?
Of course. Okay. Yeah. We have so many people with so many allergies that what is in our things, it's not really a secret. We have a whole ingredient list, and we won't tell you how much of each of them, but absolutely. So our regular blend that we use in all of the baked goods is a whole grain brown rice, a certified gluten-free oat, and potato starch with some xanthan gum because you've got to get something a little gooey in there.
Sure.
The bread is a whole grain brown rice and tapioca, again with xanthan gum and all the things you'd expect in bread. But those are the two flour blends that we use. And so we don't use any nut flours. We use a coconut flour in the keto bread because keeping the carb count down. But for people who have nut allergies, a lot of times if you have a nut allergy and a gluten allergy, then you're really out of luck because you can't eat anything because a lot of times they use nut flours, and we don't do that. We don't use any soy products because we're really anti that.
You have a lot of stuff on your menu.
Yeah, we do.
It really is very, very, you're doing bagels, you're doing all these.
We do bagels on Sunday. We do bagels on Sunday because bagels. And you know, they taste like bagels.
Right.
Yeah. Like, we have people who come in, and I love this. We have people who come in who are not gluten-free to get the bagels or to eat a sandwich at lunchtime. And, you know, you might also see them next door at Mama's tomorrow, but I love that people who are not gluten-free come. I feel like that's a huge compliment.
I just had a listener ask, do you have gluten-free pizza dough?
We do pizza. We have Pizza Tuesday, which was created by my son. We do Pizza Tuesday, which is a personal size pizza. And then on Friday, because Friday is International Pizza Day, I feel like we do a family size pizza. So absolutely.
Can they buy the dough? They wanted to know.
You can buy just the crust. Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Because Chris and I are into this grilling pizzas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, once you get the system done.
Once you figure out how to do it right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I would never cook a homemade pizza in my crappy kitchen oven again.
No, because once I've learned you figure how to, out. Yeah. Yeah.
What's your guilty non-gluten-free pleasure that you have to have once in a while when your husband's not around?
Oh, shoot. It's not worth it. I'll hurt for days.
So what? What is it?
I don't.
Really?
Yeah. No, because I'll hurt. It's just so not worth it to me. My hands will hurt and my knees will hurt and I'll have this like brain foggy stupid thing going. I just don't.
Wow. Maybe I need to start that because I'm having a lot of those right here.
Give it a shot. You never know.
Remember, dedicatedgf.com. They're on Speedway next to 4500 East Speedway,
mm-hmm.
next to Mama's Pizza. My last question is, I probably asked this years ago, but I'll ask it to you one more time. Mm-hmm. Favorite two locally owned restaurants you're going to that has nothing to do with your place?
Oh, nice. Well, this is going to be really telling about my personality. Mm. I love the Frozen Cactus. It's a divey little bar. If you've never been there, I highly recommend it.
This is the one that went through Bar Rescue?
Yeah. They did.
Okay.
Yeah. But
what was it before? It was
RJ's Replays.
That's right. Yeah.
I had never been there when it was RJ's Replays, but it was.
Thank you for that statement.
Yeah, just to clarify. But you know what? Their wings are bomb awesome, and their bartenders. We went there once, and then the next time we went back a week and a half later, she knew what we were drinking.
That's great.
So that's huge. I really.
And number two.
And this is where it's also a bar, so that's embarrassing. Red Garter. Love
wow.
Garter.
Speedway.
Like, and super, like anything that's a dive bar on Speedway, apparently, this is, I feel like I probably should have prepped
the sandwiches still good? Because they were before.
I'll tell you what, they've got burgers there, that, you know, without the bun, but the Gauntlet Burger, it's just like anything they found in the kitchen that they throw on the burger, and it might not be the same next time, but it's close, and it's so good, and they're tots. Oh my gosh. And it's just a divey little place.
So what we've learned is that if you go, when you go all gluten free, you actually have to have a few cocktails a week just to.
You have a few cocktails and then you learn to eat wings and burgers without buns. It's all good.
Well, again, congratulations on 5 years. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
And if you can do it gluten free and keep it tasty, it's a great place to be.
Nice. Thanks so much for having me on.
Anytime. I'm going to have a piece of this crumb cake at the break. So, Rebecca, great seeing you. Have a great weekend and best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Dedicated, a gluten-free bakery coffee shop. They're doing sandwiches, salads, Sunday bagels, pizza crusts. Give them a shot, even if you're not gluten-free. If I gave it to Ed to eat and he didn't know it was gluten-free.
I would never know.
Yeah.
No, it's so good. Thank you. Thank my you. Wife's going to. I already sent the link to my wife. So she'll have staff meetings and have to go there and pick up stuff
Perfect.
On the way. So that's great.
All right. Thank have a great you. Day. We come back. You're going to take us through 10
Michael Caine movies.
Michael Caine movies for our movie segment today. So 790-2040 if you want to recommend Jaws 4, like I said before, for your Michael Caine movies. There it is. Rush doing Summertime Blues. Welcome back to Wake Up Tucson, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Matt Neely coming up at the top of the hour. We have a member, we're not going to be here on Memorial Day, so we have four great best ofs. I have one where Ed Alexander reads poetry. It's something, it's a news segment.
Wow.
And it's the fourth hour is Ed doing collected works of French poetry in French.
Yeah, that's me.
So it's going to be pretty.
All I know is a rose is a rose is a rose.
Thank
by
you.
By Gertrude Lawrence. Thank you.
I'm just going to go downtown and read the haikus there.
That's
on
true.
Congress.
There's 20 different haikus downtown.
Great.
Very nice.
Okay.
We should have a haiku contest about Pima County.
Ooh.
That's not
a
bad.
Good one. Yeah.
Wow. We're going to do that next week. We're hanging out with Mark Van Buren. Of course, he's been doing an amazing job all these years with doing running down movies and doing top 10 lists. Is there anything that you've seen recently that we should say?
Not really. Well,
no. Okay.
No, not really.
Okay.
I really think this is a dull time of year, and used to be you'd get these summer blockbusters coming
right
out
now.
And it's really happening.
Morgulay.
I mean, you know.
I saw a thing about how the movie revenues are down, and they're saying Avengers Endgame didn't do what they thought it was going to do.
Well, I mean, it did a lot, but it didn't do as much as you
Are they
think.
Whining?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
After a little bit. That? I think what happened is that this is not like a Star Wars movie where people go back multiple times to see it.
Yeah.
This is, you saw it because you had to see how it all wrapped up, and then you're like, all right, I'm done.
There's no wait for it on Netflix. I mean, now everybody's got.
I know. I think they're in trouble. I love the movie experience. I always have. I know Ed likes to go and eat popcorn, and we do like that experience on a big screen. But you know, with everything's going on with Netflix and everything, I would say the studios are kind of in trouble, and they might have to reinvent the formula, or you have to have more reasons to want to go to a place like a Draft House Cinema or something like that, where basically you can go there and get something to drink and eat while you're watching the movie. So I think they have to come up with something else.
I just covered the story last week in Switzerland, how they now have these bed/chaise lounges to watch a movie, and I'm sitting there going, oh, I get to be more comfortable falling asleep on the Hobbit again. All right, we got to get into this. We ran late with our bakery ladies.
That's fine. We can roll through this pretty. And like I said, a lot of these movies are almost like cameo appearances by Michael Caine, but they're very good. And I like it. The first one at number 10 is done in 2014. It was called Interstellar. And it is the movie, it's about a team of explorers that travel through a wormhole in space to attempt to save humanity because the world is getting destroyed and they have to find a place to be able to go and survive. And he plays Dr. Brand and basically uses the phrase, I'm not afraid of death, I'm a physicist, I'm afraid of time.
Now,
that was his line in there, and he does a great job. He's a mentor type in this.
Who's the star of this movie?
The star of this movie is Ellen Burstyn and Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, that's where I wanted you to say.
Okay. All right.
Matthew McConaughey.
I'm there.
Matthew McConaughey, because, you know,
dreamy
what
eyes.
You got to do a Lincoln commercial, though. So, anyway.
You know, when I'm driving down the road and it's just me and my dreams.
Oh, here we go. 85% on Rotten Tomatoes by the audience. So, a very, very good flick. 2014 Interstellar.
What's your next one,
sir? Next one up, I love this movie. I think it's very thought-provoking. Done in 2010, Inception. And it stars Leonardo DiCaprio. And Michael Caine plays his father, who's named Miles. And again, he's a mentor type in this movie and does so just really, really well. And it's basically about a thief who steals things in people's dreams. And it's a pretty amazing story. And right even at the very end, you don't know if Leonardo DiCaprio is in a dream or it's reality.
Okay.
At the very end of the movie. But I do know for a fact, I do know what it is because Michael Caine talked about it in an interview. But I don't want to spoil it for anyone, so go see the movie. It's 2010, Inception.
Okay.
Okay.
That was a big hit, that movie.
Yeah, I think so. Did you see it?
I did.
Yeah, I liked it. I really did.
Well,
really,
yeah, again, and you are saying that, you know, these are definitely movies where he's doing lending. And in the last so many years of his life, he just did a lot of supporting roles.
Oh, he's 86 years old, but the guy's still working. He's working on three movies right now. I mean, think about it. 172 movies. 172. That's crazy. Next one up, The Kingsman, The Secret Service. I love this movie. Done in 2014 as well. So he did Interstellar and The Kingsman, Secret Service. He plays Arthur in this. You know what it made me, when I was watching it, if you remember the old man from Uncle's,
sure.
Dr. Waverly, that's who he reminded me, because he was the boss in this and you know, put this international spy group together. And basically, he leads the group of the Kingsmen. And you know, Colin Firth is the star in this movie. So, very well done, 2014.
The Kingsman. The Kingsman. I like the first one better than the second one.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. The second one was a little much for me.
I don't know. I just, to me, this is the type of film that I wish all Bond films were. I think the early Sean Connery movies were like this, and I think they've gotten back to it. But a lot of the Roger Moore stuff it got to be silly, and I really like this brand of spy movie.
I am done with Daniel Craig as James Bond. Okay,
it sounds like it.
He looks like a guy who hates playing James Bond. That's what he looks like to me. I've heard him say that he can't stand.
There's no soul into it at all.
Yeah, it's just, yeah.
Dead eyes for some reason.
Yeah. I don't know, but they keep bringing him back.
So my vote right now for the new Bond
is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's exactly right. Shaken, not stirred. It would be Tom Hiddleston. The guy who played Loki?
Yeah, really.
Watch the AMC's TV show. It's on Prime. It's called The Night Manager, where he plays like a former MI or an MI6 guy in it.
Sure.
He's it.
Wow.
And you know, he's got a good personality. He could play it light when you needed it.
Sure.
Daniel Craig looks like he's going through an IRS audit playing James Bond. Look what you're doing. You're in these exotic locations, right? Playing super spy with all the gadgets, cars, planes, and super uber hot women running around. And you're like,
yeah,
stop it. Mm. That's what I say. Stop it. We got to go to break. 7:35 in the morning. Mark Van Buren, Christy Simone, Ed Alexander. I never thought I would say this. If you have a favorite Michael Caine movie, give us a call.
There you go.
790-2040. Mark Van Buren pushing the boundaries of your movies today. Wake up. 7:39 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson, trusted local news and talk. 10:30 KVOI. Let's get one more movie, and then I got to go to. We actually have Michael Caine movie phone calls. But what's your next one, Mark Van Buren?
The next one up is my favorite superhero movie, The Dark Knight.
Yep.
And it was done in 2008. And of course, Michael Caine in this one plays the butler. But when you really think about it, in this movie, he plays more of a father image for Batman.
Sure.
Right? You know, that's the way that I look at it. But this movie is just sensational. The Joker, Christian Bale is Batman. Heath Ledger is the Joker. Phenomenal. I mean, he plays him darker than that we've ever seen the Joker before, a lot different from Cesar Romero or Jack Nicholson or any of that stuff. I just thought the movie was phenomenal. 94% on Rotten Tomatoes, both the reviewers and the audience.
He plays the father figure and also kind of one of those folks that are trying to make sure that Bruce doesn't go overboard in losing the Bruce Wayne part.
He keeps him grounded.
You know?
Yeah. I just phenomenal job.
Because that's always been a fascinating thing in the Batman mythology is that he actually considers himself Batman first.
Sure.
And Bruce later. You know, it's the second one.
Yeah.
And there's a great, I was talking about this Batman Beyond cartoon with Ed, and there's a thing where he gets hurt, the older Bruce Wayne, and he has like a head wrap, like, you know, for the injury on his head.
Mm-hmm.
We don't realize the bad guy puts his little chip in the bandage to try to do this, him think he's going crazy, right?
Sure, sure.
But he keeps saying, I keep hearing the voice, but I know I'm not going crazy. And you find out later, the young kid goes, why didn't you think you're going crazy? He goes, because the little voices in my head kept on referring to me as Bruce. And then the guy goes, oh. Because
what a moment.
Always wants to be referred to as Batman.
Gotcha.
Let's go to the phone, 790-2040. Let's go to Cowboy Dave. What's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning. I got two for you.
Shoot.
The best. The Eagle has landed. Robert Duvall, Donald Sutherland, and... Man, I tell you, it's a really good one.
It's a really good flick. I do remember that one.
The other one was Bridge Too Far. I mean, the cast of characters, they couldn't make a movie like this today. Sean Connery,
I know.
Elliot Gould, Robert Redford, James Caan. Man, I tell you what, and it's a true story about Operation Market Garden.
Sure, that's a great one.
Coming up.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we're The Eagle Has Landed is about a plot to kidnap Winston Churchill.
I know.
And they're Nazis and they dress up as British paratroopers. And Donald Sutherland plays like a watchman of the countryside. And back then, I mean, they had these guys walking around the countryside with shotguns looking for Nazis, because you got to figure. I mean, the English Channel is the only thing that's separating them from Nazi Germany, you know, with the Nazis, they took over England they took over France and the Netherlands and everything. But it's a good movie, I tell you what.
Oh, it is. It's a really good movie.
They look like Winston Churchill,
mm-hmm.
and actually in real life they had dummy or look-alike Winston Churchills to disrupt the Nazis. There was plots to take out Winston Churchill.
Oh, sure.
It's interesting. Michael Caine actually plays a German in this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so does Robert Duvall. I mean, he plays. It's a good movie. And I was telling Ed last week. I said, you know, your new security team, Eagle Force. I said, man, they got to come up with a logo. The Eagle Has Landed. May the Force be with you.
I like it.
Yep. I mean, they couldn't get enough business.
Well,
but anyhow, you all have a great Memorial Day and say a prayer for our fallen soldiers, man.
Absolutely. Yes, two sir. Great suggestions. Great Thank one. You.
Yep. David, thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
790-2040, wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. We're counting down top 10 Michael Caine movies.
Michael Caine movies. And number six is, speaking of Robert Duvall, Secondhand Lions. He co-stars with Robert Duvall in this one. They play a couple of eccentric uncles who basically, their irresponsible mother just drops their like 8-year-old kid with them to raise. And these guys are very wealthy guys that live like a hermit's life. They don't have television, and they live in I think it's West Texas, and they have this big homestead, and they go through all these adventures. And the chemistry between Duvall and Michael Caine are just phenomenal. It's just phenomenal.
It's interesting. This is your movie right after Cowboy Dave reminds sure. us of Eagle Has Landed, where they starred together in the 60s in a war movie.
Yeah. I mean, I saw a lot of. He was with a lot of the same directors and stuff that I think they really like working with Michael Caine. And you know, this is just another example that there's a scene in a bar scene where these punks come in and they're having barbecue, and they start hassling Robert Duvall, and he gets up and he just takes them to task. It's phenomenal. A really, really good
Secondhand
scene. Secondhand
Lions.
Secondhand Lion done in 2003.
I do like Secondhand Lions. That's a good flick.
Yep.
What's your next one, buddy?
The next one up is done, an earlier one, 1975, done The Man Who Would Be King.
Oh, yeah.
Stars Sean Connery and Michael Caine and two ex British military guys in Afghanistan. The country doesn't need them anymore, so they decide to go to this obscure country and try to be kings. It's very well done. 91% by the audience, 96% by the reviewers. It's just a great, great movie. He plays, the guy's name is Peachy Carnahan. And it's
what
just,
a great name.
Oh, it is.
Peachy
it's
Carnahan.
Peachy Carnahan. So really, really well done.
What number are we up to, sir?
We are now going to number four.
Okay.
Done in 1966, the earliest one on the list, Alfie. And I was watching clips of this last night, and it was really amazing. He plays an unrepentant ladies' man, or you know, a real player. And what's neat about the way the movie is filmed is that he constantly turns to the audience and does like a narration, like what he's
doing.
Breaks
the fourth wall kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very well done. And at the end of the movie, he has this revelation. He goes, "I'm wasting my life, basically," and he needs to figure it out.
Who did that song for Alfie?
It
Ed
was
Alexander. Who did the song Alfie? Is that
Dionne Warwick did it later? But there was no. It was a. There, it was a British British singer.
Guy. It's a guy, right?
No. What's it all about Alfie? And of course, we're doing it all the
it's
kinds
like
of justice
kind yes. of thing. But I can't remember. Yeah.
96% by the reviewers for Alfie. Just a well done. He was nominated for the Academy Award in this, but did not win.
And that was that movie was remade with Jude Law later.
I think so. Like, yeah. I think so, and I don't know why.
Okay.
Anyway, next one up, he did win the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor in this one, Hannah and Her Sisters. I know Ed is a big Woody Allen fan. Came in at number three, done in 1986, 91% by both the reviewers and the audience on Rotten Tomatoes. And he basically plays the husband of Hannah. But he's in love with one of Hannah's sister, and it's pure neurosis that Woody Allen is famous for, and he does an outstanding job in it.
He seems to like to love other people that's not the one he's married to.
Yeah, exactly.
Did I just say that?
Yeah, you did.
Ed, what do you got there for us on the Alfie song?
Scylla Black.
There you go.
Okay. All right, let's bump out with Scylla Black, Alfie. We'll come back. We got
two to go.
Two more to go, and then I'm going to give a little rundown of some other Michael Caineers that I like. So, Mark Van Buren, Ed Alexander, Christy Simone. Wake up, Tucson.
Here we go. Come on.
10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
She keeps singing, but that's starting.
7:51 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 KVOI, trusted local news and talk. We're going to get to your phone calls, Mary Lou and Ted, in 2 seconds. We're going to get Mark's last two ones, and then we'll get going.
Okay, the next one up at number two, done in 1988, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Hold that thought. Let's bring on Mary Lou. That's her movie.
So all right, let's talk about
it. Let's go to line two. Mary Lou, tell us about Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Excuse me. That was an excellent movie that he was in. We've watched it several times on our VCR, and he played such a good part, and, well, so did Steve Martin.
But oh, and the two of them together. The two of them together were fantastic.
Away. I don't remember her name.
Glenn Headley.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Right. So that was an excellent movie.
Very good. Well, thank you for your contribution today, Mary Lou.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Have a great weekend.
You too. Happy Memorial Day. Bye-bye.
Same to you.
And what's your number one flick?
Number one flick is Michael Caine, The Cider House Rules, done in 1999. I absolutely love this movie, and it probably launched Tobey Maguire's career. Basically, Michael Caine is a doctor at an orphanage, and he's raising these kids, and he just loves them so much, and he really gives them the parent image that they don't have. And Tobey Maguire grows up in the orphanage, and basically Michael Caine is trying to groom him to be the next doctor after he passes away. But Tobey has other interests and actually goes out and discovers a little bit more about life, but then something draws him back, and he comes back to be the doctor in the orphanage.
Okay.
And it's a very touching movie. There's some good comedy in it, but it's a well done movie.
Okay.
Yep.
Very good. Great list today, sir.
Thank you.
The Michael Caine Top 10. Let's go to the phone, 790-2040. Let's go to Ted on line three. Ted, you're on with Mark and Chris. What's up?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you brought up The Man Who Would Be King.
Yep.
That was always one of my favorite movies. And it was based on a Kipling book.
Yep, Rudyard Kipling, absolutely.
And the Kipling book was based on actually a true story, an American military officer who somehow wandered into Afghanistan in 1850.
Wow.
And became the leader of a warlord's band of brigands and Islamists or something like that over there. And they're, I'm trying to remember the guy's name. He was from Ohio or something.
But so much.
He's even gone to West Point.
Yep. Truth is stranger than fiction though, right?
Yeah. And there is a book written about this guy's life, and there's some place in the Midwest that has some trinkets that remain after he died of things he collected in his adventures over there.
Well, it sounds like I have some research to do tonight. Thanks.
I have the book, but I can't even find it right now.
All right. Well, let me know if you find it.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Right.
Ted,
right.
Thanks for the great call, sir. Yep. Say hi to Glory. So going through the Michael Caine IMDb, just a few highlights for me.
Yeah.
And again, the guy did 172 films.
I know.
So that you got it down to 10. I just watched Battle of Britain. It's a classic war movie. He's
sure.
Fine in that. I forgot he was in the original Italian Job in 69.
Absolutely. And that, you know, I the other movies were done very, very well too, but it was a good flick.
The, what was the other one? We had Man Would Be King. Of course, oh, thank God he was in the Beyond the Poseidon Adventure.
Oh, God. that's one of those stinkers I was talking about.
I did
about.
Like him in Death Trap with Christopher Reeve, which was based on the big Broadway play in the 80s. Loved that play. He had Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, Jaws the Revenge. He played, his character name was called Hoagie.
No bueno.
The one that I'm a little disappointed in you is his turn as Ebenezer Scrooge in The Muppet Christmas Carol.
I'm sorry, I can't do it. I love that play probably more than any other play, and I couldn't do that.
Quiet American was a good flick. Mm-hmm. Him as the stylist in Miss Congeniality.
Oh, yes. That was really a really good scene. Yeah.
He was good with that. And then, of course, Shatner is the guy, is the head of the Shatner and Kane in the movie. That's something else. And the other one I was thinking, too, was, The Prestige. With Christian Bale and Hugh Jackman as the competitive magicians.
Yeah. I do remember that.
That's a pretty good flick, too.
Yeah, it is.
All right, let's go to the phones real quick. Let's get Carl. Carl, you got about a minute. What's up, buddy?
Zulu.
I wanted to put it on my list. I love that movie, you know. And at the end of the movie, when all the tribesmen surround them, and you go, "Oh, yeah, here they come again," and it's like, "Oh no!" And then they just turn their back out of respect and walk away.
Yeah,
isn't that awesome?
And, you know, yeah, that was awesome. And to me, the best part of Secondhand Lions was that traveling salesman that came by with the skeet, the clay pigeon thrower.
Oh, no, every time these traveling salesmen would come up on the porch and they had two shotguns and they just fire at the guy and they take off.
You know, and one real quick thing, there's a theater in Plano that is dog friendly. You can bring your dogs, and for $12 you get an unlimited number of drinks of wine.
I like it.
Wow.
I'm going to have to check it. The next time in Waco, I'll check it out.
They have pizza too. I'll be there.
Carl, thanks for the nice call. Have a good weekend, sir.
You got it.
The movies this weekend, of course, the Aladdin movie that just came out, the remake. Guy Ritchie, the guy who did the. He actually did the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes movies, same director.
Good. Yeah.
The critics on Tomatoes, 60%. Yeah. Audience, 91%.
Really?
The other one that's interesting is a takeoff of the Superman story. It's called Brightburn. I forgot it was coming out this week. Hmm. What if a child from another world crash landed on Earth, but instead of becoming a hero, he proved to be something more sinister?
Ooh.
So it's like, what if Superman went bad kind of movie?
Right.
That's going on now. That's an R-rated movie, believe it or not. And that's 60% on the critics, 85% on the audience.
Hmm.
And then this other one's this Booksmart one with the two girls. It's a basically it's supposed to be a comedy, and the critics have it at 99%, audience at 81%.
Really?
Yep.
I'll have to check that one out.
So we shall see. And of course, Turner Classic Movies will play every good war movie humanly possible for Memorial Day.
You better believe it.
So,
man. Absolutely.
Mark, thanks for your service as always,
fun.
Sir.
Absolutely.
Have an amazing weekend.
You do the same. Everybody stay safe out there and remember our fallen.
Amen, brother. Matt Neely,
thank you, sir,
who I can't believe brought a Fish Who Saved Pittsburgh album with him.
He actually did. That's crazy.
No, and who? Doc Severinsen's on there,
he's,
right?
He's one of the acts. There's lots of acts on it, so Doc Severinsen is definitely on there. So, Matt Neely, we're going to cover a whole bunch of... We're running the gambit with Neely. Let's just call it that. Wake up.